We rise. Grace and peace to you all, on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read our sermon text for today, which comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, continuing our studies in 1 Corinthians, this time verses 16 through 27 of chapter 9. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as those under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not as with uncertainty. I fight thus, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. This is God's word. You may be seated. In Jesus' name, dear fellow runners, in the race of faith, in the race of life. So will it be Tom Brady and the hurry-up offense of the New England Patriots, or will it be Eli Manning and the more dynamic offense of the New York Giants? Or do you even care? In professional football players spend their whole career striving for this event, the Super Bowl. And now we're just hours away from these two teams reaching that ultimate goal that they're striving for. How far away is our ultimate goal? And what is our ultimate goal? Are we focused on that finish line? That final crown, as Paul calls it. Teams like the Patriots and the Giants have made it this far because of that focus, motivation, commitment. But when it comes to our race of faith, is it really going to be my commitment, my focus, and my effort that's going to get me to the finish line? Paul addresses this whole subject in our text. He begins at verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me." Of all people, we would think that the Apostle Paul had a right to boast. Just prior to our text, he has addressed the situation in Corinth regarding should the Christians there support their pastors in the full-time public ministry? Should they pay them? Should they provide food? Should they provide the needs for them to live if this is their job? Yet Paul shows them, although that's true, that churches should provide for full-time called workers who are serving them with the word, he's never made use of this. He's never once asked anything. In fact, he worked a side job making tents to provide for his own needs. He says, in verse 18, "What is my reward then, that when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge?" Meaning, he didn't want anybody to have an accusation against him that he had come up with this gospel idea for the sake of personal gain. He didn't want people to come to him thinking that he had just thrown this upon the Christians, another philosophy, so that he could make a living, so that he could make money. Yet in all this laboring, in imprisonment, in beatings, for the sake of the gospel, Paul says, "I have nothing to boast of." Because it was not his will or his determination or his commitment that had taken him this path. It was God's call. It was God's will and God's strengthening power that had kept him in this ministry. This is the necessity of the gospel. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "The love of Christ compels us." The word there pictures the love of Christ captivating us, taking us prisoner even to serve the will of God. Indeed, a pastor should never be in the ministry just to get a paycheck. And you should never be spreading the gospel to other people in order to just get more people in the pews and up the offering. No, it's the necessity of the gospel that leads us, to keep us looking toward the finish line, to keep us motivated for the right reasons and not for self-service, not for a competition against other churches, not for a competition against fellow Christians. Verse 17, "If I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." Yes, it was not our will that chose this gospel, that took us down this path of faith. It is a stewardship that has been handed down to you from God, something you're just given to take care of. The heavenly treasures of the gospel are not something that we came up with or we chose. It was given to us to take care of. That's what a steward does. Paul has said in chapter 4 earlier, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Rescued and entrusted with this path. A competition. Yes, it's a competition. It's not a competition against each other. It's a competition against the devil, against the world. Because your flesh is trying to get you off course. It's trying to get you disqualified. It's trying to get you to follow your own desires, to think, "I have done my part," or "I do have something to boast of. I have lived a pretty good life. At least I'm doing a lot more sacrificing than other Christians are." That's the course that the world is trying to get you to veer off on. No, we have the necessity of the gospel. As Paul says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Yes, it's never self-commitment, personal focus, or individual effort that makes the gospel work. It's God's commitment, God's effort, and God's focus that gives us strength. The necessity of the gospel. This race is not about beating the Patriots or the Giants. It's about beating Satan and sin. It's not about me versus you. It's about all of us versus Satan. Satan would love to have you try to race this path alone and forget your fellow Christians or your family members that are able to share this labor with you. Jesus said, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand." The devil and the evil forces in this world are united in their efforts. We should be too. Verse 19, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. The word win here literally means to earn, to gain, to make a profit. It pictures a business transaction in which you've invested something. Paul says, I am free from all men. How much do we invest, though? He says, though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. The liberty of the gospel is a powerful thing, but it's also a dangerous thing if it's misapplied and misused. It has set you free from the law, free from the demands to do anything, the constraint of God's word that says you must or else. Let's think of this race if the law were still in place and if we were not free. The law says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And it says, if you don't, you're out of this race. You don't even have a chance. It doesn't just say we are to love once in a while. It says all the time. It says we would not do one thing that would harm our neighbor physically, emotionally, financially, or spiritually. That's what the race under the law would be. Something we could never or have never lived up to. Hopelessly disqualified for interference. For interfering with other racers. For thinking only of ourselves and our getting to the finish line on our own. However, this is why God said, I'm going to give you a substitute runner. I'm going to have you sit the bench, and I'm going to send somebody else in to run that race for you. Somebody who can love his neighbor perfectly, never harm someone in any way. And so he sent his son to do it all for you. To set you free, as Romans 8 says, the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through our flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. A new coach has entered the game. The Spirit now is leading us, not the law, the Spirit. Luther said, a Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. And then he also said, a Christian is perfectly dutiful, servant of all, subject to all. That both things are true, as Paul himself addresses. A team focus. To the Jew, I became a Jew. Paul in Acts chapter 15 travels to Lystra and Iconium in Asia Minor. And there he wants to bring along his fellow servant Timothy, who is both Greek and Jew. He's half Greek, half Jew. And the question arises, are you going to expect Timothy to be circumcised? He's half Gentile and half Jew. Well, normally, you would think Paul would say, we're free from the law. Timothy doesn't have to be circumcised to go and reach out to these fellow Christians, fellow Jews, but though he's free from all men, he knows it's going to be a stumbling block to those he's reaching out to. So he asks him to be circumcised. And thereby, he reaches out to the Jews. To the Jew, I became a Jew. To those under the law, I became under the law. Every situation in your life is going to come with its own set of circumstances. And we are always to stand for the liberty of the gospel and the truth of God's word. That's why Paul says to those without law, as without law, but he says not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. A new law. It's like the law of the Spirit that I read from Romans 8. Something else that's compelling us besides do this or else. The love of God, the love of Christ, love for our fellow runners. Verse 23, I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of it with you. It's a joint finish. I don't know if you've ever seen the Disney movie Cars, but if you were in my household, this is something that you could not avoid. And in that movie, you find that one of the famous race cars in the final race of the movie breaks down just inches away from the finish line. And then the lead character, Lightning McQueen, comes along, and rather than traveling onto the finish line by himself and claiming victory, he sacrifices victory to help this other car get to the finish line. What do we do when our brother is slowing down, breaking down? When our brother is showing weakness, do we wait for them? Do we wait to help them across and toward that finish line? We're not talking about someone who has been shown God's word, who understands what it says and then rejects it. We're not talking about people who are rejecting the gospel. We're talking about, to the weak, I became as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. We're talking about going arm in arm toward this finish line. When we see a brother or sister burdened with a load of sin, we're there to lift it off their shoulders, to assure them that their sins are forgiven, and to be together with our fellow runners. As Jesus himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give himself, his life, a ransom for many. The most successful athletes in this world have a vision. They can see the finish line, the goal, the crown. Look with me now, dear Christians, and visualize. I want you to visualize this crown that awaits us. Do you see it? Can you see the finish line? Verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. There's a reason why they call it prize fighting, because there's a prize waiting. Paul describes this crown, and in his day, the word would picture a wreath that would be placed on the heads of some Olympian. I don't know about you, but my Christmas wreath I had hanging on my door has already withered away and been tossed out to the garbage. Think about the crowns we receive in this world. None of them last. None of the trophies, the games we win at, the victories we have against others. Even if we could think they would bring us joy that would last our whole life, we still can't take it with us into eternity. But here's one that we can take with us, that we do take with us. A victory that brings an imperishable crown. Verse 26, I run thus not with uncertainty. I fight not as one who beats the air. Right now, there's probably some of those Patriots or Giants who are picturing what that Super Bowl ring is going to look like on their finger, what it's going to feel like to have that ultimate victory. But will they get it? Even if they had the greatest of odds to win this game, there's still the chance that they could lose on any given Sunday. Well, there lies the uncertainty of this world. But Paul says, we run not with uncertainty. The vision that God, that you're picturing about your crown of eternal life is not just a vision. It's a reality. It's yours now. It's yours through faith. God has paid for all your sins. He has won the victory for you. And the crown is yours. Verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. What are the things that disqualify us? Interference. We try not to steer other Christians off the track. False starts. We let Jesus take the lead. We let Him do it all for us. And we don't expect anything that we've done in our life to earn us a single reward. We hitting below the belt. We are honorable to those on the outside. We become all things to all men. We don't set up a standard for others that is different than the standard that we set up for ourselves. We avoid becoming hypocrites. We become all things to all men. And even though we should be disqualified, for we have interfered, we have had a false start, and we have set a standard for others that we don't even keep ourselves. But look again. Look again for that crown. Oh, there it is. Yes, Jesus has won it despite all our sins and gives it to us. As 1 Peter says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So it's much like my sister who ran in a marathon. And she didn't win to get first place. She didn't even win to beat anybody else on the racetrack. All she was doing was trying to finish. That's our race. To finish. To bring along everyone with us. Arm in arm. We're in it together. We finish as one. Paul says only one receives the prize. Yes, in fact, only one did win the prize. It was Jesus. And all of us, as Galatians says, are one in Christ Jesus. And so picture everyone on the shoulders of Jesus carried to this eternal victory. We finish together through faith. We finish together with certainty. See the finish line. In Jesus' name, amen.